Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Up to 90, up to... Do you know what? When I put the musical insert this week, I'm sure Fred could show me how to do it. Because anytime I ask him to show me anything, it always ends really well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when he said I was...
But it can't be that hard. Come on.
I'm just like, I don't want to be the one that... I'm basically... I'm the one who's I'm basically just suggesting, yes, do have an argument.
No, I am going to do it. This is the week, guys. The musical insert is going in.
Up to 90, up to 90, up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
Tell us your news, tell us the goings on, tell us your bits. What's been happening?
Bits and the bobs and the bobs and the bits. Well, I had a lovely weekend because I went away for the night with my good friend Kate. And you know what I love? One night her hair phone. Love a bit of M People. Actually, I haven't played that one for a while.
So you and Kate, yourself and Kate.
We went to the Ahado Heights for the night in Killarney. And we went there before for Kate's birthday a couple of years ago. And like, it's just such a fancy hotel. You know, you go in and straight away, you just feel like, you do feel like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. You're like, I shouldn't be here. This is wrong. But it's gas how you just lean into it. So within a couple of hours, you're like, oh, I have to make my own toast at the breakfast. Like, it's just, you lose the running yourself completely. But what I love about Kate is, so like we went, the first thing you do, obviously, it's like 12 o'clock in the day, you're taking the clothes off. The robe is going on.
Oh, yeah.
And you're wearing nothing else for the next 24 hours, which I love. So Kate whips, obviously went for lunch, go back up to the room. Kate opens the bag and what does she have? It's the jelly stash. Like, this is what you need in your life. So she has her bottle of rosé, she's got crisps, she's got Maltesers, and just a really nice jelly selection. Like, just a lovely, just to be nibbling on.
What are you talking about? What's a really nice jelly selection?
So the Natural Connections wine gum. Like, I love the Natural Connection, the snakes and all that, delish. And then I think it's called the Party Mix is my fave. Then she had, you know, the teeth. The old school, the milky teeth.
Yeah, milky teeth. Yeah, okay.
Packet of those. And then wine gums.
Okay. So she's not... Sorry, no offence to Kate. I know Kate. I like Kate, but she's
bringing the jelly cane.
No, I'm sorry. She's not a jelly connoisseur.
Maltesers. And a crunch. And the little crunchies. You know, the ones that they're like sweet. Oh, yeah. They're crunchies.
Okay. Fantastic on the crunchy front. Fantastic on the Maltesers. Although, to be honest, mini crunchies would have been better than the crunchy sweets. But that jelly collection to me is not a jelly connoisseur.
Oh, but the teeth, Emma. A whole packet of teeth. The teeth, I mean, I could just be eating them for days. Then, so we went and got a facial, loving the facial.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, it was so good. And you know what? I was so embarrassed because you are, like, now I will say this. You know, you go in and obviously you're like, yeah, I'll get a facial. And then they're like, and the boxes, any skin problems? And you're just like, tick, 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 tick. So it's like dry skin, oily skin, combination skin, baggy eyes, baggy eye bags, aging. You're just like ticking it all, ticking it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then when it comes to profession, it was funny because Kate was like, what did you put down?
This for a facial.
It was like, for a facial, a lot of info. Then you had to take anything wrong. So I was like, I put down comedian because we live in optimism. So we had a good laugh about that. And then we had a conversation actually about the surname situation. And I said, I had a moment again when I was filling out the form. And I said, you know what? I don't know how it came to me, but I was like, I think I'm going to ask Fred, would he take my name as well? And we could be like Aaron, you know, Aaron Taylor Johnson. When he married his missus, who like they're such couple goals, obviously, like just defying the odds every single day. They're so deadly. But I love the way he took her name as well. So I'm like, yeah, if he's going to take Sam's name, I think Fred, I'm going to float it by Fred. So we're having this chat. Then we get to the boxes, you know, anything, any issues at the moment. And you're like, anxiety, stress. Like, again, this is just for a facial. Like, you're like, this is a lot of, they're looking for a lot of info here. But then I went in. And, you know, the usual, you're like, why did I say comedian? Because it's like, oh, what I'd say you have your family laughing the whole time. I'm like, well, something like that. And then at the end, I knew I fell asleep. But, you know, you were snoring your head off, Emma, you know, when you know this, because the beautician came back into the room and said, no, that was nice and relaxing. Wasn't it? You were very relaxed, which is code for you were snoring your head off.
You fell asleep.
I just felt, but it wasn't even, you know, when you feel in the back of your nose, like it's the deep sleep that they put you in when you're getting a facial. Also, nice. Another thing, when you book in for a facial, like,
so sorry, okay. I might look like I'm not reacting at all, but I've never had a facial. That's why I'm just like, I'll take your word
for it. Do you know what? If we were actually doing this live now, I'd be slapping you across the face. Like Emmanuel Macron sign, just style, just one slap. Did you see that Macron getting the slap last week?
No.
Sorry, shouldn't laugh. So he got a slap. Yeah. He got a slap. Oh, he was out and about.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not condoning slapping, but like it is, I mean, wow, like so French. This is when France like switches off from up to 90. But anyway, so I will say about the facial, can't believe you've never gotten one and your skin is iridescent. You are just, I mean, I'm just chewing my knuckles
well,
here.
Look,
but
we're on Zoom, let's be fair.
I said it to you. I was like, you look so youthful. I don't know, is it because...
you said it was the
I don't know, is it this... I was going to say, I don't know, is it the Adidas stripes or your Ariana Grande backpack? But you're just looking younger and younger.
So go on anyway, sorry.
But this is my issue with the facial. So you book in for a facial and you think to yourself, do you know what? The feet. Now, look, I know we've discussed Irish feet before, but like my feet, the idea of anyone seeing my feet is just, it's such a trust issue for me. So then she starts on my feet and I was like, ah, here, because you book in for a facial and you presume you're safe. Like, you know yourself, I was gonna shave. I was, but I was like, sure, look, it's only the ankles. Who'll be seeing the old ankles? And next thing she's got, I was like, oh my God, you know, you're just like, you feel like apologizing, but you're like, no, Julie, stop it.
The bare
feet.
Don't
apologize. I was hardly massaging her feet. She was like, massaging my feet.
But what did you have on your feet?
But I said, what do you mean? What did I have on my feet? Bare feet. Like, as in, you hello, we were wearing slippers and robes for the whole 24 hours. I took the slippers off.
Okay, you took the slippers off.
Well, she was like, just so you know, right, you get up there, you know, you can leave your slippers here. So that's like what they're saying there is, it's a very kind way of saying, Take your slippers off, you stupid bitch. Yeah. So like, you know, it's like, you can leave those there. And then I hopped up and next thing, the foot massage started. And I was like, I wanted to apologize. I know, but These people, honestly, I absolutely stan anyone who works or touches somebody else's feet voluntarily. Somebody very recently, actually, this week in Crimeland, we did this royal killer. So she was Sarah Ferguson's right-hand woman and she got charged with murder. And Sophie Shandy was only bringing up again, the toe sucking. And I just was thinking about that as your one was like massaging my feet. It just, I was just reminded of that picture and the boat and your man and the toes and the sucking. And I was like, imagine somebody touching your feet for pleasure. I just, whatever you're into and all that. But I was very, now obviously very self-conscious of the foot touching, but, you know, absolutely lovely and all the rest, but just couldn't enjoy it because I just felt like apologizing the whole time because of the stain on my feet. Obviously haven't seen sun in a year. I generally have pretty troll feet at the best of time, pretty, you know, pretty much troll feet at the best of times. They're essentially hooves. But yeah, no, gorgeous. Yeah, and then you do the thing, you know, at the end where they're like suggesting products and you're trying to pretend like you're seriously considering buying these products when you're like, no, like it's a baby wiper bust. What's your skincare routine? I cleanse, I tone, I moisturize. I always like saying that because just to watch their face kind of trying to make sense of the visual with what I'm telling them. Top tip.
Yeah.
I didn't do this time, but the last time I got a facial, they were like, what do you use on your skin? And I always scan what products they use. And I'm like, oh yeah, I use Voya.
That's a good one. Yeah,
it's a good one. Clever. Because then they can't be like, we've got this cancer. I'm like, I've got it.
I've got it.
It every day.
Two bottles of it, actually. Special. Yeah, thank you. That's clever. Clever clogs.
But I remember, I think I said that before, I got stung for that in
The hairdressers.
Was like, what color is your shampoo? Do you remember? Because I was like, bitch. I use the Kerastase.
Yeah.
Bitch. And then I said something like, I don't know, purple. And she's like, there is no purple. And I was like, look, can I just put my headphones in now? Can we just admit this relationship is over? Let's just be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, I'm sure there's no tea or coffee in the hairdressers anymore. So you'll have to do your research before you go there the next time.
Is there no tea and coffee in the hairdressers?
No, it's the old Covey. Well, that's what they told me. You know, I hope that's the truth.
Honestly, I don't know. What's that phrase about the cure? What's worse, the disease or the cure?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of one that has tea in it as well.
Now, you were out and about and I got a lovely audio, which I have to say made my weekend.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And remind me where I was actually earlier in the day. So I went out Saturday. I went to my local and it was my first time in a outdoor beer garden or whatever, and I went, and then two ladies approached me, and it was Ellie from the Shitehawks and her sister from the Shitehawks, Maggie. So I had met Maggie before in the park with Emma. So this was Ellie's sister who I'd heard about on the Shitehawks and the little shebang. And it was Ellie's birthday.
Happy birthday, Ellie.
She was 30. And
scratched on happy birthday.
Ellie and Maggie came over with a young gent. I can't remember his name. He was hanging back though. And then Ellie said, now I've a bone to pick with you. And that was when the group that I was with dispersed. Well, it was basically,
Ellie was starting on you.
She was. But so the bone that she wanted to pick with me was, I don't want to be shit stirring with the Shitehawks, but Ellie felt that Emma actually hadn't done enough to deserve her listen of the week. There's a lot going on in that group. So we kind of thrashed it out. I was there until about 3:30 in the morning, just trying to talk her through the whole thing. And we came to the conclusion anyway that she would be listener of the week this week. And that's how we just agreed to disagree and we shook on it. And yeah, she's listener of the week this week.
So. Ellie, so well deserved.
Oh, and she's ginger, as far as I remember, if I remember correctly. Had a few drinks now, but yeah.
Okay, any gingers who listen to this podcast, because we have our stash of lovely weird watercolors cards, get in touch and you're getting a card if you're ginger. Yeah. Get in touch, send us your address. It's happening. We've suffered enough. The least we deserve is a weird watercolor card. So Ellie, you are our woman for this week. Yeah. I'm so thrilled.
Happy birthday,
the big trio. Doesn't it feel like a million years ago you turned 30?
It does. It feels like a million years ago. A long time ago. So yes, that was funny. And then earlier in the day, I didn't tell you about this, but I didn't tell you all of this. So I met up with Grania. I went for a walk.
Friend
of the podcast. And she said, oh, you show me the new gaff. And I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. So we went to the new gaff, had a look around, showing her what had been done, what's going to be done, all that kind of jazz. Came out, met the next door neighbor who I've already met before.
I presume you hadn't met them before you put in an offer in the house, because the neighbor is so important.
No, hadn't met people, but like would have known.
You're not going to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's done now. So anyway, let's not have this conversation. So had met them before, whatever. And there was another neighbor there who I hadn't met, whatever. So they informed me that. And I already knew this. In the back garden there was a family of foxes, because it was all overgrown and we haven't cleared out the garden yet. But we're in no rush to do it anyway. And that one of the small foxes had actually died. So they'd had to put the fox in a box, okay? And that they've been trying to ring various people to kind of, they call people before the demise, but it was kind of, you know, it was a process. And anyway, got the box for the fox and rang some organizations just to see what was the best thing to now do with the fox in the box. So met a neighbor I hadn't met before, and she was carrying the box with the fox. And I decided to say to her, but when I explain this, I feel like you'll understand. I said to her, where did you get the box? Is the box, is that like a special box for a fox or like what's three? And she says, oh no, why? And then I said, oh, it's because on the box, it had written tails.com. And she's like, no. Oh no, this is the box my dog.
This is the box my dog what?
This is the box my dog food comes in. I thought it was a special box that she'd gone and gotten for special her dead company. Fox.
Yeah.
And I said that out
Googling
loud.
Googling fox coffins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tails.com. So I said, yeah, nice to meet you. My name's
But to
Anna.
Be fair, there was a lot for you to process in that there was moment. Yeah. You're reading tails.com. You're thinking fox in a box. You're thinking dead fox. You're thinking a fox is a tail. You're thinking this company makes boxes for dead foxes. Like that's the only logic here.
Should have maybe gone to the toilet before I left. You know, there's a lot of things going on.
But so and how, what was her response? What, like, as in, how was her response? Was she like, oh no, fair enough, this is the company I buy my dog food from? Or was it like, no, this is the company I buy my dog food from?
I think we all had a bit of a laugh, but looking back,
okay, well, good,
it,
yeah.
If somebody made a very distasteful joke in my company and I didn't know them, I mean, I probably just laugh as well, just to kind of keep them on my good side. And then when they leave, I go, what the fuck is the story with that person?
Seriously.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, they obviously know. Yeah, they're thinking, does she even care about the fox in a box? Well, it's up there. Well, not that it's up there, but as you're talking about the Fox in a Box, it did remind me of, I think I talked about it back in the Upton, early Upton 90 days, about my mom happening upon the Nike shoe box in the attic. And she had written Tiger's coffin on the box. But that the reason that was disturbing was because Tiger, my cat, was alive and well. But when I questioned mom at the time, she was like, it's just really hard to get a box to fit the cat, like when he dies. And then when he was on the way out, mom was like, let's just put him in the box to see, does it fit? And I was like, I'm not putting him in the shoebox. She's like, we're not going to close it just to see, is it long enough? I was like, can I grieve and meet? But yes, you know what? I think it's testament to the neighbours, though. I like the way they really care about the foxes. I think that's a really good sign.
Well, the foxes, I'd gotten videos of the foxes, and the foxes were having a great time and whatever.
From the neighbours?
They were just like, oh, leave them be and whatever. It's all good, you know? So, because they're not going to stay there forever. Like, the cubs, they're going to grow up. And the cubs don't look tiny, tiny. But in fairness to the fox in the box, it wasn't in a shoebox, it was in a full size box. So there was a bit of dignity in that, unlike your kind of squished into a shoebox.
It was a proper size box,
you know what I mean?
I just say though, I think I could totally see you with the pet fox. Like, you could rock that.
Well, you know, Shane's friend thought that he could pet foxes. He lived up the mountain and he told them all. No, it's not Jeff.
You knew I was going to ask, is this Jeff? Do you know what?
There's a general popped into my head.
He popped into my head like 2 days ago. I had a flashback. I was like, well, how is Jeff? I just had this moment. You know when you walk in a room and you're hit with the memory? And I've no idea why. Do you know what? Maybe it was because I was actually fixing the couch at the time. And maybe that was it, because maybe on some subconscious level, I was thinking back to the time Jeff slept in your gaff and Stan did a shit on him, didn't he?
I think it was Twiggy at the time.
Okay.
If anyone who meets me, you never forget him. Like, that is a fair point, you know what I mean? Because I always thought actually he should have gotten to stand up. Because I said to him a few times, like, you should do it. But he's just more fluid than that, you know what I mean?
He really reminded me. Yeah. Easy breathe. Not committing to a 10-minute open spot anytime soon.
No, thank you. No, but no,
no clock for me.
It was another it was another mate who told them all that he could pet a fox and that the foxes were real tame and all. They're just like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he went up to show them, and he called the fox over like a dog and went
stop
to
it.
Pet it. And obviously the fox bit his hand.
Did it actually bite his hand?
Yeah. He obviously
had to get the rabies shot and everything.
I don't know what happened. I think if I got bit by a fox, I'd be checking it out. I don't think he would have been getting up early the next morning to see how the hand was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Might have been one of those evenings.
Okay, yeah.
But it did happen.
The lads must have loved that. There's nothing better than a friend boasting they can do something and then watching them fail so spectacularly.
Yeah. It's good, yeah. I know, it's straight away.
I think one of the early moments of myself and Fred's relationship when I realised he was a really good egg was when a dog, now I won't out the dog.
Don't name the dog.
So the dog, there was a familial connection to the dog, let's just say. This dog was in a gaff that we were staying in. And Fred bent down to say hi to the dog, and the dog jumped up and bit him in the eyebrow. So his eye was pumping blood. And in the immediate after, I was like, oh my God, Fred, your eye. And he was like, Fred didn't even bat an eye. He was like, no, it's on me. Like, you know, that poor dog, I must have scared him. And I was like, what? Like, even imagine being bit in the eye. And Fred was like, it's on me.
God, did you get a scar? Dog.
Do you know what? There is still a bit of a scar in his face now, to be honest. But I just thought, because usually he didn't even give a yelp. And it was probably shock as well with poor old Fred. But like, I just was like, what a good guy that he's not in any way upset at the dog. I like, I hope the dog's okay.
I like that poor Alfred.
That name is coming back. Where did those mugs go? They must be stashed somewhere. I think pre-COVID, obviously, we all thought we'd be in a lockdown for 3 weeks.
Oh,
who knows where the mugs are? We need to find them, because I'd love to give out the old bits of merch now to listeners, because like they have to be somewhere. Once now we start moving again, in the next couple of weeks, so I'm hoping to get on the road again and go through the bits.
Come here, what was I gonna? Do you remember when you were talking about the second names there? But sure, what's Ted's name? Yeah.
Well, it's Kook. At the moment, it is Kook. And we're getting him christened in a few weeks. So Ted Johnny Kook. So Johnny after my dad, of course, Ted Johnny Kook. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. I just kind of like the idea that we both have a double barrel. I must float it past Fred, actually, to see what he thinks. Oh, in case I forget as well, if just for the crack, if anyone wants to listen to, you know, Fred did the podcast with Des. Very entertaining. Yeah, it's a really good listen because Des is a great interviewer. And like obviously himself and Fred go way back as well. So like,
yeah,
it's a great listen. But I did laugh at Fred's sanitized version of events when it came to my labor. So that's definitely worth a listen. Des, how was Julie after? Fred, yeah, she was grand. I was like, I'm pretty sure I lost half my body weight in blood and was unconscious. But Fred's like, yeah, fine. Bit of a bleed out, but you know, to be expected. But Fred is just very chill. We had another grill fire, the second grill fire at the weekend before I went off my hollybobs. We had another grill fire, and Fred, you need to see Fred Cook's reaction to a grill fire, because he says, even in the midst of the fire, I like to keep it chill. You know, I'm like, fire, fire. You know, it's your immediate reaction. You're like, flames, fire. You're not forming full sentences. You're just shouting words. And Fred's like, okay, let's just keep it chill. Keeping it chill.
I think it was last week. Who knows? We don't know. There's no way of checking. But last week, we talked about water, bleach water. But with a grill, the rule is, grill, water, grill.
You see,
are you putting a little shallow covering of water in the bottom of the grill?
No. I'll try that going forward. That is a top tip.
Your Jill grill fires.
Okay. So to avoid a Jill grill fire, you put a little bit of water under your grill.
Yeah. So that when the fat drips
genius.
Down, you kill it. Like,
genius.
You don't kill the fat, but you know what I mean?
That's really clever.
The fat can't spit back up then. Can't spit back up. That's what happens. The fat spits. Is he doing sausages or rashers or something? Is it?
Of course.
It's not bread.
It's a sausage. I mean,
yeah, if you're getting a grill fire from bread, I mean, I try my hands up. I don't know what you're doing. I can't help you. But the rashies and sausages, you need to put a bit of shallow water on the grill. Because then when the fat drips down, it can't shoot back up and start the fire. It's in the song. We didn't start the fire.
Yes.
The water on the grill stops the fire.
That's what Billy Joel was banging on about.
Yes. Third verse. It's there.
That's very clever, Emma.
You told me about the curtains. The curtains sound whimsical. I'm not going down to your gaff if there's whimsical curtains and grill fires.
I'm taking a photo of the curtains because they've blown on me.
Is the place going to even be standing by the time we get there? I'm not driving all the way down to get an audio from you.
I'm like, we've got to keep this structure intact because Emma's coming down on her holidays. And I just want to not burn the house down for her.
Yeah. It's so important to Emma that the house is standing. Please, Fred.
No, I'm not even messing, Emma. I think that's genius advice. That could change our lives.
That's how you stop it. And you know how I know? Because I had a grill fire, but I was like six. I was constantly, not purposely, but I started a couple of fires when I was a kid.
my mom to, because I was really scared then of the grill. Anytime the grill went, I was, ah! So she...
PTSD.
Fucking big star. So she made me stay at the grill one time when she was cooking, like until the fucking bitter end. To, like, she wasn't getting, I don't think she was getting me to make the dinner. I hope that's not what was going on, but like to teach me, like, not to be afraid of the grill. And then, like, you know, the water grill water. But I did then burn the carpet in the sitting room. So,
but was that deliberate? No, accident.
No, I was blowing my nose with a bit of tissue because, like, it was toilet roll. Who had tissue? Who had a box of tissues back in the day? Very posh. And my granny always used to come over and, like, she'd throw a dig at, like, my mom, be like, would you not get a box of tissues? Anyway, so I was blowing my nose and I threw the tissue into the fire, but I kept one end of the tissue, threw it in, and then I was like, oh fuck, that's on fire. And I pulled it out. Instead of letting go of it, I pulled it out, dropped it on the carpet.
And did the carpet actually go on fire, or was it just a bit of a singe?
Well, I know that when the house was being sold, then it was covered.
Okay, yeah.
So apologies to the new owners for taking their while at this stage. You gotta do
always
what you
after you move in, you discover a mystery fire.
Oh, always when you move into somewhere, you find something. You find something crazy. Always
something, something, something. Do you know what that is? I really now really appreciate that advice, Emma, because I think that could save our relationship.
I don't think Fred Cook's gonna stop
having grill fires. Yeah, so we'll give that a go.
It's too hard, especially I'm not gonna alienate brands, but there's particular brands, a lot of water in some of the produce.
Okay.
Like, so okay, look, I'm just gonna lay straight here. If you are gonna, okay, a well-known Irish supermarket has rashers, okay? Very nice rashers. But you're like, okay, if you're cooking four rashers, you're going to get third degree burns on your face at some stage of that process.
Yeah.
Those bastards are going to sit up.
But that's the price you pay.
Yeah. Like, they're tasty and, you know, they're at a good price, but they are going to fire, like, you know, volcanic hot fat in your face. That's what's going to happen with them. Yeah, so I mean, look, I could do a Zoom call with him tomorrow morning just to check the rashers that he's cooking, you know what I mean?
No, your Zoom calls together have to stop. Okay, we're getting married and seriously, make stop it now. Do you hear me?
Your first grill water,
if that is your real name.
At least you've got your first dance sorted.
That's
the fire.
Now, do you know what? We're not having a dance because my cousin asked me that. And just to be clear, it's just a family, like the ceremony and a lunch, and then everyone's in bed for Judge Judy. It's not, do you know, there's going to be none of this dancing around. Like, forget it.
And come here, why are you adamant about sucking the joy out of it? What's that all about?
Well, it's more just, well, I think we were just about keeping it simple because obviously with COVID and stuff, I was a bit like, I don't know about dragging people down for and then having a big wedding. But I don't know, because then Fred floated a couple of friend names that he'd like to invite at the weekend. And I was like, oh, here we go, because it's going to turn into a proper wedding. But I would be on for a wedding. But I think it was just the main thing was I was just thinking about our parents and stuff, and they probably wouldn't be on for a big mad day. Yeah. But then I was like, I mean, maybe we could kind of have our own thing after. Like, I had kind of planned to, you know, have the lunch and then say if various family members like want to retire or whatever, go to bed or whatever it might be that they could. But then I was saying, like, I had kind of planned in my head that we would just go for drinks across the road to Kearns, the pub or something. You know, like, as in that was my plan. But now the friends are being floated. I'm like, it's going to end with a band. Like, it's going to be a proper wedding probably by the end of it. But the idea was that we would just do it for the family members and that it would be chill for them and that we would have a hoolie down the road. But I don't know, is that going to happen now? we'll see.
Well, Fred the Grill.
Fred the Grill
is going to creep in, isn't he?
You're first on the friend list if we do, because I know what's going to happen. Like for at the weekend, Fred did float a couple of Fred names and I was like, it's happening. Like the family only wedding is over. Because you don't want, you know what I mean? You want, obviously, him to have the wedding he would like as well, because it's probably going to be your only wedding. Like, obviously, no guarantees, but probably.
Well,
I mean, look, who's to say? But no,
the first one you go for the big D energy, and then please God, the next one will just be going for the cash and the terminal illness,
cold hard cash.
Yeah.
Now, can I tell you a very? I think this is a really interesting story that I happened upon.
Sorry.
Is the story of Shanti Devi, the Indian child who claimed she lived twice. But this is a mad story.
Okay, where did you find this?
I found this on allthat'sinteresting.com, which is like just such a deadly website.
Are they sponsoring the podcast?
No, I'm just totally obsessed with it because I love the way it just is really random stories. Because you know the way it's quite like I find in terms of alternative news, it's hard to get really interesting stuff. Like sometimes it's alternative for a reason.
Well, you do get sick of seeing the same stories on every second site. Like,
I mean, and you know what? It's funny. Even the ones that kind of frame themselves as alternative, I just find it's very samey. And a lot of them, as I said, you're kind of like, yeah, I get why this didn't make the main news. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Born on the 11th of December 1926, Shanti Devi appeared to be a perfectly normal baby until around the age of 4, when she began to ramble on about a past life in a town called Mathura, nearly 75 miles away. So she started recalling in detail all these shops and streets in this random town that she'd never been to. So she was 4 years of age. She also began to speak of her husband, a merchant whose name she refused to reveal until about 9 years old. So she was like, no, look, it wouldn't be fair on him to name him. He's a private person. And then when she was 9, she was like, okay, look, if you must know, these are the deets. She did tell her parents that he was fair, had a wart on his left cheek, and wore reading glasses. Despite the unusual specificity of her memories, Devi's parents dismissed her recollections as mere childishness. But when Devi revealed that her husband's name was Pandit Kedarnath Chaubey, my apologies because that's probably all wrong, sometimes referred to as Kedarnath, to his mates, a friend of the family decided to find out if any of this was true. So they sent a letter to the guy to inquire about this little girl's memories. And to the friend's surprise, your man wrote back confirming all the details. He also agreed to send a relative to the little girl's home to gauge the situation. So in an effort to test her knowledge, the relative was brought before Devi, the little girl, first, and introduced as her husband. Devi, no. She was not to be fooled. She said, no, that is not my husband. That is my husband's cousin. Shocked, Kedar and the child, so he had with Ludi, now 10 years old, entered the home themselves. Upon seeing them, Devi, the little girl, reportedly burst into tears. Your man, Kedar, requested to speak with Devi on his own. Like, crazy. This is just such a crazy story.
So what year did this happen?
So this happened 1926, she was born, and at this stage she's 10, so it'd be 1936. So your man's like, look, I need to talk to this little girl on her own. So basically he ended up, so obviously he asked everyone to leave. He was like, look, can I just speak to her? So he claimed then that each response she gave to his questions was entirely accurate, was what he said. He found the replies to be quite correct and was moved to tears, read an account by an investigator on the case in 1937. It was as though his dead wife was speaking to him. Now, she then spent several days with Kedar and his son before they had to return to where they were from, which was Mathura, this town, which was like 75 miles away. Obviously very sad about their departure, she pleaded with her parents to let her take a trip to her former home. She promised she could lead them directly to her old house, and also said, as kind of a bit of a carrot, because the parents were like, I don't know, like that seems to be quite a trek to go to visit your husband of a former life. Like, we want to support you, but like, it's a bit much. It's like 150 miles round trip. So as a little carrot, she was like, look, just so you know, there's a box of money buried there, so we can actually grab that while we're there. So the parents were like, we're in. At this stage, a certain guy called Gandhi had actually come to learn of this little girl, Debbie. And he was really, so he basically, it was kind of a bit of a passion project for him, because he was instantly fascinated by this case. And he actually set up a commission to investigate the case in November of 1935. So there was 12 researchers who came down and said, look, we'll go with she as she returns to this town. This is nuts. So Debbie, the little girl, her parents, and these 12 researchers who had been hired by Gandhi embark on this 3-hour train ride to Mataura. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So as one of the investigators recounted,
did you get this at a fucking take a break? Because that's what this is starting to sound
there,
like to me.
Isn't it? Yeah. And then Debbie went to the toilet and twins came out. Like, that's, yeah, that's all we need for it to be just a full on take a break. All the elements.
And she
of
married
take a break,
and she's happily now married to a tree. End of story. That's always,
no,
always
that's more Closer magazine. I'm attracted to roller coasters. Yeah, that's more Closer mag. And then you turn the page and it's like Katie Price's fridge. But I love that shit. I want to know what's in everyone's fridge. Anyway, yes. As one of the investigators recounted, once getting out of the train station, the girl was put in the front seat and her carriage went ahead of all the others. Necessary precautions were taken so no pedestrians should be allowed to lead the way. The driver was instructed to follow the route indicated by the girl without caring as where he went. Sure enough, Debbie had no problem directing the group to what she claimed was her former home. Along the way, she noted various streets that hadn't been paved earlier and buildings that weren't there during her previous life. So this was all in the report written up by the commission, and the driver confirmed these observations were correct. Stop rolling your eyes, Emma Doran.
I'm sorry. Why can I just, can
no,
I just say what,
you can't.
Okay, go on.
Just
I'll
believe.
Wait until the end.
Go on.
No, it's not that I don't believe. My problem is with all these stories is, why is it always something completely fucking boring and useless? Why is it like, and they remembered exactly the way the chimney had been painted, or but who cares? I want some Back to the Future shit.
But sure, she remembered the box of money.
Did she get the money?
Well, they landed at the house and she said, look, what about the money? So the member of the commission had said, oh, Debbie had talked about a box of money, and your man basically, so Debbie, sorry, herself, ran upstairs, headed straight to the corner of a room, declaring that the box was under the floorboard, and Kedar, the husband, opened up the floor, and indeed there was like a small box, but it was empty. Shocked, Debbie began looking inside the hole, certain the money was there. Wouldn't we all, Debbie? Like, you're traveling there. 3 hours on a train. You're like, no, this did not fall out of the box.
Travel 3 hours on a train. She's been fucking reincarnated into somebody else. That's quite the trip. You'd want to be getting your fucking little piggy bank.
So Kedar then admitted that he had taken the cash after his wife's death. Oh, men. Debbie's reunion tour. Mataura. Like, if I
patriarchy.
If I die, that box of money, Fred better not ever touch that
but
box
see,
of money.
This is it, Julie. If you go in, you go into any house in Ireland, I would say, I don't know, 70% of houses in Ireland have a box of money in the kitchen of some description.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Maybe
but
in
then
India,
upstairs,
they put it in the floor. They put
maybe
it under
that's,
the floor
yeah,
boards.
The equivalent of the hot press, because that's where you
whatever,
keep your
yeah.
passport in our house. Yeah. So basically, then she went off and the parents, she apparently recognized the parents and a crowd full of people. But I wouldn't pay much attention to that, because realistically, the parents presumably was etched all over their faces. They were probably extremely emotional, but she did identify them. And then obviously she wanted to stay in Mataura for longer, but her parents were like, no, like this is done.
You've got
so Yeah. And of course, the commission was like, there's no rational explanation for any of this. So years later, in an interview, basically in 1958, a newspaper in India followed up with her. And at the time, Shanti Devi was 32 and had never been married. She was living a quiet spiritual life in Delhi. She also said she'd planned to form an organization, quote, devoted to the idea of living our lives according to the dictates of the inner voice. Shanti Devi passed away in 87 at the age of 61. However, her story lives on courtesy of a book written by Swedish author Stuart Lundstrand in 1994, which was translated to English then as well. So it's available in English. And I just want to get the name of the author for this article. That was written by Mark Hartzman. I just think that's such an interesting story, isn't it?
It is and it isn't, though, because like I say, I'm waiting for them to predict the big match. The big, like Cheltenham. Tell me that. What's the winning number?
But she's not talking about predicting the future.
Kind of like, yes, this room and bloody blah.
Well, look, admittedly, she didn't predict that Michael D was going to get a pony.
No, but it's,
you
like
know, like
these
she
folks,
wasn't. It wasn't,
you know,
that
these folks
level.
In the Guinness, like in the Guinness Book of World Records, and it's like longest fingernails in the world recorded. So her story is a bit like, geez, that's amazing. But after you've acknowledged it's amazing, it's kind of like, so what? What are you going to do with them fucking fingers? Fuck all use to anyone, especially you. So that's a bit like her story. Her story is fuck all use to her. Never mind anyone else. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry, like, but like, I don't know. If a four-year-old kid came up to me and told me she was my sister, I'd go, but you are fuck off.
Well, of course you would.
Coming to my house, sure, looking for the box of money.
Like, to be
under
honest, if Simon, yeah, if
you,
yeah, that's
fuck,
my box
you're
of money.
The fuck.
I know.
I'll give
well,
you a
I can imagine
box
now.
In the face. What are, yeah, you saying about me and my trophy box? I gave if, that back years ago.
I can imagine if Shay, I can imagine out. If Simon, your brother, said, do you know what? You're not going to believe this, but this little girl is claiming to have been married to me in a former life. I can just imagine you'd be like, oh, I can't be arsed going down to the gaff now. You'd be like, she's
no
coming. There's the commission. There's 12 investigators. 12 we have a crowd full of people here. And I'm like, no, I'm watching time. How's time going, by the way?
Judy. Now, so obviously I was hanging out with the Shy Talks there on a Saturday. Had a few drinks, but a few of us now in France, we made a bit of a mistake. We finished as a nightcap, finished it off for the evening. Espresso martinis. Don't know whose
oh my
idea
God.
This was. Don't know what that was all about. But anyway, I went home happy as Larry, finished off my junior jumbo box when I got home. That was lovely. But I was just awake fairly early. Didn't go to sleep or whatever until whatever time, and I was awake. There was birds outside my window. They were just singing up to beat the band, so I didn't really go back to sleep though. So then last night I actually just went to bed at about 10. I actually turned the phone off.
You need to start the day with an espresso martini.
Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking. It was lovely, like, but
as you talked
about
the massive.
It was so funny. We saw people getting cocktails. We're like, oh, I didn't know like they did cocktails here. You know, like you're local, you mightn't like really be thinking they do cocktails. So three of us had gotten an espresso martinis, and then someone else at the table was like, oh, yeah, do you know what? I'm gonna get something. I might have a look at their cocktail menu. And she said to the woman serving, she said, sorry, could I get a cocktail menu? She said, cocktail menu? She's like, oh, do you have three espresso martinis? And she's like, yeah, they do. Like, and at one stage I said to her, could I very sensible, I said, oh, can I get some water please? And she's like, I'll try my best to remember.
Oh my god, okay. So
funny. It was so funny. She's just being like, just completely honest, just like, look, I'll
I can't
probably
make,
forget
there's
it.
No guarantees.
There's no guarantee. Yeah, she's basically just saying to me, there's no guarantees. Which she did bring the water, friends. But yeah, look, if a four-year-old came banging on your door, how would you feel about it?
And said that she had previously been married to Fred?
Yeah. How would you feel?
I mean, I'd probably put her in charge of the grill.
Like four.
Immediate effect. I'd be like, listen, do you know, thank God watch you're here. Actually, we need someone new on the grill. I'm scared of it. So if you wouldn't mind manning it for the foreseeable, that'd be great.
But you know what is a game changer? Back to the grill. Back to what's important in life. So many moons ago, when I moved in with Shane, I was all about the grill. Because my mom always cooked on the grill. She was like, it's healthier. And then Shane was like, what are you doing? Cook, like, the heartache of cooking on a grill, cooking sausages on a grill, doing all those turns on a fucking grill with the fork and trying to get it to sit on the grill. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, just cook it on the pan. I was like, the pan with the grill's a lot healthier. And he's like, look, you're having fucking rashers and sausages, you might as well treat yourself to the fucking pan. So look, grill water grill. But the pan is where it's at, man. The first time I had the sausages on the pan after coming from a grill house, a grill water house.
Yeah.
Keep shining, keep smiling. Kerrygold on the bread. I came from a Flora house.
Do you know what? That just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Super milk house. Super milk, isn't it?
It's so joyless.
We're talking full fat milk, we're talking butter, we're talking pan.
Well, yeah, there's no comparison to the pan for sure. Absolutely. And needless to say,
I was contemplating, I was like, do you know what? Should I go to therapy? And then I just started cooking on the pan and having real butter, and it all just fucking evened itself out.
Do you know what? Fred actually made me a bit of toast the other day, and he insists on having Flora in the gaff, and he had Flora on it. It just made me so sad because it really did. I'm not overestimating this when I say
he's trying to save song, for the big wedding.
Well,
he's getting Flora.
He's like, come on now, the wedding's coming up. But I just he's very controlling Fred. But I actually felt really sad. Now, obviously, I'm sure it was hormonal, but I was like, God, I just kept saying to myself, if you don't know me better, if you don't know me, because I have an aversion, even you saying Flora there, I'm just, because I think with the whole vegan thing, the two things that would stop me going vegan, cheese and butter.
Yeah.
More so butter, but butter. I mean, how would you live a life without butter? Like, there's nothing comparable to Kerrygold. Like, there's just nothing comparable to it.
Well, there's nothing comparable.
It's transformative. Like, I mean,
I'm loving it this week because it's warm and I can spread it. But like, fucking not going to the gaff for November, I'll be cursing the Kerrygold. I was just like, give me the dairy gold out of the fridge. I can't spread.
I can't believe you'd be ending the podcast on a dairy gold note.
Can't be spreading the dairy gold in November. Come on. How do you spread it?
That's what she said. Okay. Right. Keeping it elevated, keeping the humor very elevated.
Yeah.
Emma, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've been Jeannie J.
I've been Emma Doran. Keep the stories coming, though. Do keep them coming.
I thought that was an interesting story, though. No? Yeah, it got Gandhi's seal of approval, but it doesn't get Emma D's seal of approval.
No, that kind of story is right up my street. It gets me riled up.
It's very you.
Yeah, it is very me. That's my kind of story.
Chat to you.
Hey. Are you pausing this now, or what do you do?
I'm going to end it. I'm waiting for you to end on our line. Love you, listener. Thank you for listening. Your support means so much.
God bless.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.